At
Absolutely.
the bottom of the funnel, I mean, a must-have is your Google ads are there to catch anyone who's inbound about your brand and your top competitors' brands. The landing pages, when you put in someone through your competitor's brand, they better acknowledge that they came in from the competitor and compare why your features are better. Right? That's an aggressive marketing tactic that works.
Welcome to the B2B Digital Marketer Podcast, a podcast helping you to end your struggle with digital marketing, helping you to pave a new and better path to target and capture your ideal customer. Each week, we teach you how insiders and experts debunk the dreary and become engines of innovation. Now, here's your host, Jim Rembach.
Okay, B2B DM gang. Oh man, if you ever had any questions about paid ads for high ticket B2B, if they don't get answered today, I know you can follow up with our guest Sharon Park. But this is going to be a great episode because we're going to hit on several things associated with paid ads. Myth busting. Look at that's some statistics, and also where is all this going? Because a lot of changes have occurred, and they're still yet to occur. So this is definitely a dynamic field, a lot of misunderstandings here, and a lot of ways for you to get suckered if you're not careful. So Sharon Park, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jim. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm super pumped for today's talk.
Okay, and before we get into that, if you could share just a little bit about your background and experience for the B2B DM game.
Sure. Hello, B2B marketers. We are the same people. I come from 10 years at Google Corporate, where I ran B2B marketing strategies for some of the largest brands on the planet. I've seen the backend ad setup and strategies across thousands of B2B strategies, including brands like Salesforce, Adobe. I mean, you name it, we did it. And I have a lot to share.
Definitely. And one of the things that you even asked me as a qualifying question is like, who are the listeners and watchers of this particular episode? And I said, high ticket B2B, because it's uniquely different. And you got all excited, like, oh, great, because that's where I'd like to actually work. Why is that?
Well, we have healthy margins here, right? We're doing lead gen performance-based advertising and also brand growth. But in that performance, we're doing lead gen. You know how few leads there are for, high ticket value. But only one of them has to convert to pay for your entire fee structure for the year, right? So SaaS companies and integrations that are looking for customers that are worth, $200,000 annual, that's the place where we like to play.
Gotcha. And okay, so if I'm thinking about that, all right, I have a high ticket type of solution. I'm looking for, 10,000 plus type of transaction and hopefully some reoccurring revenue and growth opportunities with that. So, it's a longer decision process. How do I actually create a B2B paid advertising strategy for that type of solution?
Well, we all know that measurement is the foundation of everything. So before we even start thinking about Google ads or LinkedIn ads for B2B, we got to set up the analytics the right way. I really highly encourage businesses to create a data layer in their website, a layer that is completely uninterrupted when developers are changing the front end or back end, right? Create that data layer, which means your analytics are never going to break. We've all experienced it. Like, how come I'm getting no page views today when yesterday I had 10,000? Then you dig in internally and like, oh, some developer made a backend change and that changed the code. So we got to create that data layer that protects your metrics. Get your Google Analytics, your GA4 data is flowing with revenue inside of it. Getting that final Salesforce data or whatever your revenue source of truth is to flow through your website analytics, that's got to be your source of truth because there can only be one. I've seen a lot of businesses that use Tableau, and they're using Looker. They're using like all kinds of different dashboards, spreadsheets. Spreadsheets power the universe, right? They're like, look at my marketing spreadsheets. This is where leads are coming from. Leads are one thing, but where is the money coming from? We got to set that foundation right. from there, the world's your oyster. But for B2B, we really focus on Google Ad lead gen and LinkedIn, and then maybe some programmatic on top of that.
Well, as you're talking too, I start thinking about the whole attribution elements associated with this. And when we start talking about these higher ticket sales, attribution is probably one of the most difficult things to be able to, you know, get visibility into. So how does that come into play with what we're talking about right here in creating strategy?
Attribution is the tough one. And there are many different models, right? There's last click or last touch. There's time decay. There's like a U-shaped value. There's all kinds of different attribution models. It really doesn't matter which one you use as long as you use one and stick to it across all mediums, right? They should all be held to that same standard. Last click is kind of the easiest, but it's kind of like giving your last girlfriend credit for learning the most about relationships, which led to your current, you know, life partner. Like, you know, that experience was spread out, but it is what it is, right? Last click is easy and clean. I like multi-touch, which will look at the last four touch points of a customer digitally. So a case study, they attended a webinar, they did click on a branding ad, or maybe the first touch point might have been they liked your LinkedIn post. Last four, so you just spread out the credit evenly, 25% per touch point. Then you start to, you know, form a larger picture of how are your customers flowing in into your business.
Well, I would dare to say, even with getting the data, I would think that your weightings would change. I mean, you know, you just kind of talked about 25% equally, but I mean, I would think that your data should also drive, you know, relevancy, importance, and weighting in whatever metrics you're using as well, correct?
Yeah. I mean, that's such a fair point, Jim. You could definitely do that, but you just choose whatever's appropriate for your business and then stick with it.
Gotcha.
Maybe a webinar is more important because that's like a 90-minute engagement that you've had with this person. You know, you're establishing your rapport. You're winning their trust through multiple case studies. So yeah, you can weight that more heavily. Whereas like a like on a LinkedIn page, like we don't know like exactly how valuable that is. I think that's totally fair.
Or what you're even saying too is like, okay, so if I weight these evenly, let's see where they start coming and start getting at frequency numbers. And then maybe I go back and weight it.
We just want to see the flow. We want to see the flow of like, how are we winning people's trust? 98% of B2B marketer customers are not in market to purchase.
The 98?
98. Like, it's kind of like an Aston Martin. We're selling a big ticket item here. How many Aston Martins does a person buy in a lifetime? Hopefully one. Right. So maybe everyone listening here is going to get one Aston Martin. You're not in market right now. Okay. Like, let me just eat my words. Maybe some of these listeners are, but 98% of us are not. We're still in consideration.
Okay. So I've heard anything from 1%, you know, is it in market ready? And I've seen as high as 7%. Like a stake in the ground and saying it's right around 2% that's market ready.
That's from a B2B LinkedIn's 2023 study. So they'll release new numbers for 2024.
Gotcha. So that's okay. So, I mean, that's still, and I don't think a lot of people put that into the proper context. And then also too, from an overall, you know, paid averaging, you know, a paid advertising strategy, how does that whole 98% not in market come into play to your strategy?
We're talking full funnel marketing now, right? 98%, they're not ready to buy. If you look at the shape of the funnel, maybe 70% are at the top, and then a third or somewhere in the middle, and then you get that tiny ready to purchase amount. So I would spread out budgets accordingly to complement the shape of that funnel, where, you know, middle of the funnel, we're establishing trust, case studies, downloadable guides. Like, we just did our GA4 B2B marketers playbook. That's free for all of our listeners. We'll be sure to link to it, but it's just a playbook that says, hey, Sharon Park knows what the hell she's talking about. Here's our playbook. It's free. I mean, there's a lot more knowledge behind this. So here, take it for free. It's going to make sure you don't mess up on your analytics. So giving away those points of trust at the middle of the funnel and paying for those impressions to drive the right eyeballs to is important. And then at the top of the funnel, we're talking about what is our unique value proposition. But the conversation, the ad campaign, is less about me, more about what are the benefits to you.
Most definitely.
Very important to tackle.
Okay, so if I look at a paid advertising strategy and looking at essentially that full funnel marketing that you're talking about, what would I expect as far as a breakdown in investment is concerned? Top of funnel, middle of funnel, bottom of funnel for those 2% that are actually red.
I think everyone listening, we all know the gun we're under from the sales team. And I want more leads. We want more leads. We want sales. We want revenue right now, which is fine. But we have to have the guts and knowledge to push back and say, sales is for today. So buy them a Zoom info, buy them an ABM platform to address today's leads, get someone to do BDR and SDR, all of that kind of work. Marketing's job is to fuel next year's leads, right? Have we built a moat around our brand, around our SaaS company that proves that we are the platform of choice? Have we done that? Otherwise, we're going to be in the same position next year.
And what do you mean by same position?
Same position is we're still under the gun. Where are my leads? Where are my leads? So if you could imagine that funnel and put 70% of your focus in the mid to upper, maybe a third of your budget at the bottom, a small portion of your budget should be in the performance lead gen, but we got to be making those investments in the higher portion of the funnel. This is where businesses are made, like generational type of brands are made. So why does everybody know that Salesforce exists? Well, there was a Matthew McConaughey Super Bowl ad last year. Why did Salesforce play in the Super Bowl? They're a CRM company. They're making their brand known. Not to say every business is in that position, but we still have to be fueling the top of the funnel. And all of that fuels the performance at the bottom.
Well, I think you bring up a really interesting point in regards to the, a paid advertising strategy in the B2B world is I'm not going to outspend, the Salesforces. I'm not going to outspend the Oracles. I'm not going to outspend, some crazy thing that just got funded for, $500 million. And now they're spending like crazy. I mean, realistically, how can I put together a strategy when I do have some of these behemoths that I'm competing against that who can outspend me 10x, if 100x?
There's plenty of business to be had, right? We need an appropriate marketing budget for a SaaS business if you're in SaaS. So even if you're a startup, you got to talk to the board and say, look, I need $100,000 a month every month. I don't want to be having this call every quarter. We're going to trim back marketing, trim back costs here. Like that's going to hamper my business's ability to survive. Almost if your business were a tree and you prune back every leaf bearing branch, your tree can't make food for itself. So we need $100,000 a month, every month, commit to it for 2 years. You hone in on your target market and get narrow with it because we don't have that spray and pray budget, right? We're talking decision makers. So decision makers are C-suite, maybe VPs if your target company is a little bit smaller, but really CMO, CEO, CRO, that's the suite that you want to be targeting in branding. And then in lead gen, it's based on their search terms, based on some of their different profiles. I hope that's helpful. Is that too long of an answer? Let me know.
I mean, it is very helpful, but for me, the shocker is what? $100,000 a month? I mean, there's no way. That to me, that would only be held out for the elite of the elite in regards to size. But I think maybe that perspective from a strategy is also important. If I'm looking at X amount of revenues, if I'm looking at, expected growth opportunities, and I would say that, what percentage of my revenue should I be looking at as far as investing into paid ads?
Third.
Wow.
Let's get real. That's what it takes. It takes a third or a half. Depends on what stage of business you're in. Coca-Cola has invested one third of their total revenues into marketing since their birth. And so when you think about a sugary drink, it's going to be Coke.
Okay, and you're talking about
that's the
marketing
name of the game.
Spend, not necessarily, within the paid ad category.
Right. Yeah. Overall, you got to do PR. You got to go to events.
Gotcha. So when I start looking specifically at paid ad, and paid advertising, what are some of the best practices and tips that you see, really giving the return on investment that people are looking for on that effort?
Yeah. So we're talking about performance budgets then.
Absolutely.
At the bottom of the funnel, I mean, a must have is your Google ads are there to catch anyone who's inbound about your brand and your top competitors' brands. The landing pages, when you put in someone through your competitor's brand, they better acknowledge that they came in from the competitor and compare why your features are better. Right? That's an aggressive marketing tactic that works. Secondly, is LinkedIn. They are the most valuable B2B marketing platform on the planet. I've heard a lot of objections. LinkedIn leads are expensive. Yeah, because they work. They're bigger. You can control for size of company you're targeting, right? You can do a lot in terms of building audiences. Right now, a free thing you could do right now is drop the LinkedIn pixel all over your website. It's free, but you're teaching LinkedIn what audiences are coming to your website and you can retarget them.
So I would dare to say, when you start looking at breakdown of spend, if I'm talking about two major platforms for businesses, what I hear you saying is that it's Google and it's LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
What would my breakdown of spend or allocation of spend would be on those two platforms?
Yeah, I'd probably do 70-30 LinkedIn, Google. Because LinkedIn, you have other opportunities, right? You can do mid-funnel type of activities. One tactic that's been super successful is hosting webinars. And so using ads to get it in front of the right eyeballs, bring a class of 10 decision makers or 20 decision makers to your webinar, have your best seller hammering for an hour, case study after case study after case study. Look at all of these wins that we've generated for our customers. And then at the end of that, put in your calendar link and book one-on-ones. Those do convert. So it's different from your traditional, those little in-mail ads that you get. Form fills still work though. You may think that they're like annoying, but they do work.
Okay. So if I'm starting to think about some of the shifts and things that have changed, I mean, we talked about the search landscape, all of these things are in flux when you start looking at how people are actually using them. And talking about even LinkedIn, for example, even when you refer to profiles, I tell people all the time, I said, well, you do realize that this is a search engine, platform, and you're teaching it, who you want to connect with by who you're, accepting connections from. So think about that. Also, if you look at who you connected with maybe several years ago, who you probably should not and remove the connection, you should do that. People don't really do that type of scrubbing with their profiles, but it is, an algorithm that they're going through.
Yes.
So we have to, we have to think about that, is that some of these advertising, best practices and tips can change. Some of the trends and statistics, in regards to paid ads have changed. So what are some of the things that you could share in order to give people perspective in these areas?
The digital landscape's always changing. I think change has accelerated. So the health of our website is probably the number one priority at this point. LinkedIn has their algorithm, Google has their own, and they're changing almost daily. But how healthy is our own gated property, right? And so taking a look at landing pages and conversion rate optimizations. If you can change your conversion rate from 6% to 7% on a landing page, that could mean massive amounts of revenue generation, millions. It could mean millions. If you could change your SEO strategy to have more authoritative content, high quality videos with subtext, giving the search engine something to crawl that's rich and quotable, that could also help your business by the millions. And so focusing really on how modern your website is, how many proof points of trust there are on your own site, I think will help you even as the other algorithms are changing.
You know, you said the word trust multiple times. Why is trust so important in B2B advertising?
Well, we're earning business, right? We're earning the right to have a phone call. And people don't like that. I mean, how many Zooms do you want to be on per day? Especially with a stranger, it's emotionally taxing. So you got to win that right to have a Zoom with a stranger. And in order to do that, you got to give them something. Like, hey, I'd love to have a call with you, but just give me three competitors, your three top competitors, and I'm going to do homework and give you insight into their ads strategy on that first phone call. And why not take it? Everybody likes to look at their competitors.
So that's interesting. So, I mean, you're actually creating a very unique, personalized type of, you know, offer, essentially,
yeah,
in order to be able to even get the appointment. But also,
and people in our world, we know how to take those screenshots. It takes you 15 minutes. You do some screenshots, you do some Google searches. Hey, I looked at top HR software and I wasn't able to find your ad on page 1, 2, or 3. What's up?
A really good point. So if I start talking about some of the, you referred to it, case studies and B2B advertising case studies and some of those things that you've seen work, I'd like you to share that in a moment. But I think it's more important to learn is when you had an opportunity to work with an organization or be part of an organization where the B2B ad strategy just actually did not work. What caused
it? Yeah. Okay. You want to hear about the losses? The losses are the biggest teachers. So it's important to get them. And the more leads, the more pitches you get, the more opportunities you have to lose and learn, right? Being at Google, we drank experience with a fire hose because we just were able to see so many. Some things that lead to a loss, one comes to mind, which is we decided to launch ads for a business that was rebranding. So they have a 10-year-old brand, but their current industry in oil is contracting, and they want to rebrand to offer services to renewable energy, to disaster relief, like, you know. But they completely changed the name of the business. So which causes an SEO nightmare, right? It's a brand new website, brand new brand name. But we did not warn the customer enough how big of a risk that is. Because at first glance, the new website looked better than the old website. But, you know, old websites have backlinks. Old websites, users have like some kind of affinity. So ads went live. The old platform, which was looked very old, I'm talking like 1999 kind of look of website, you know, everything's two dimensions. There's a lot of red, white, and blue on the website. And their cost per lead, I believe, was around $200 in the old website. New world, it was $1,000.
Ouch.
So even utilizing the same budget, we're getting 1/5 the volume. Then we're fire drilling. That's never a good position, right? They want to, why are cost per lead so high? So we had to do a deep dive and like, oh, okay, your new website, it takes 17 seconds to load. So we're getting 30% user drop off here. Can you fix that? So then they fix it, you know, things get a little bit better. Then, okay, some of your CPCs are like $150 plus. Cut those keywords out, change bidding, change mouth types. So those are coming down. So cost per lead comes down. All the while, trust is eroding. So you got to work fast. But then to refer to your previous question, Jim, it's the algorithm doesn't change every day. The algorithm, whenever you make a change in Google Ads, it needs a week or two to adjust. So as much as the customer wants you to fire drill, like you just can't force Google to fire drill along with you.
That's a good point.
So yeah, rebranding a B2B, it's like, ooh, yeah, set that website live and compare traffic flow and organic first. Then the ads team can come in and do launches once we've established some benchmark stats.
Well, I think that's, you know, you bring up a really interesting point that for most people, it just had, they have no visibility into it. And that's the whole, you know, technical aspects and quality aspects of, you know, what is going to be my cost per, you know, lead? What is going to be my, all of the things in regard to overall ad spend? That's so far from their level of thinking that, you know, I've even seen marketers are that, you know, don't really just understand the whole technical aspect inside of it. That makes a huge impact, like you just shared. So if I, but it, so then because of the complexities of this, you often have people who just won't go down this path at all. We'll get into that in a second, but tell us one of those, delightful success stories in regards to, case studies for B2B advertising.
Thank you. Delightful case studies would be, you know, we have a small startup, their Series B. So they've raised about $50 million at this point. And we started off launching their ads with a tiny budget, like I think it was $15,000 a month. But with like very smart lead gen and user retention, their platform's very good. So the user retention rates were growing. The customer trusted the ads team to do the ads, so that they could deploy all their resources on the product and improve retention, keep improving it. So now it's been 4 years, their marketing budget is around $600,000 a month. Most of it focused on performance. The key to it, there are a couple keys, but one is like how well sales and marketing were working together. And that the leads that were flowing in, every single one was being addressed. Like that kind of operational rigor is not common in a startup. And then the feedback loop that sales was providing back, we had data flowing from their CRM so we could see at the keyword level, which keywords are leading to contracts in 6 to 9 months. It's a really beautiful cycle.
I mean, that's huge. I mean, you're talking about, to me, that's kind of like an all, you know, going all in a bet and it's paying off. Okay.
Yeah. So
I, you know, because of this complexity, and believe me, I think there's just as much complexity on the other side, is people start really trying to really use organic, you know, search and organic and content creation and all that in order to essentially replace what would be their ad spend because they're so fearful of losing money on that paid ad. So help us understand a little bit in regards to paid advertising versus, you know, organic marketing. How does that
great question. And you'll never be able to displace what paid ads could do. And just like paid ads will never be able to displace what organic could do. In a study that we ran at Google, I believe some of the larger like oil companies were participating in it, like Chevron, BP, that kind of size. We shut off their ads and let organic only run for a certain period of time. Then we actually shut off their organic and only use ads. Google House paid for those ads. And in that study, neither channel was able to overcome the volume you get when both are playing together. A lot of businesses say, I don't want to run on my branded terms. They're like, I'll let organic pick that up. It never will to the volume when both are running together, okay? So in a healthy business, I think half and half customer acquisitions through organic and half of customer acquisitions through paid is like a nice balance. Then you have a lot more volume. I think classically, that's what we're seeing, about half and half. But you don't want to be too dependent on one channel.
So if I start, you know, thinking about, again, you know, choices, I mean, there's all kinds of different, you know, B2B paid advertising platforms and tools, and they'll help you do this and help you do that. And how am I supposed to, you know, really make the decision on moving forward on any of these, given I have this technical element? We even talked about the tracking, you know, and having that reporting layer. I mean, it's like, where do I go with all of this?
Yeah, bring in a specialist. I think those automated tools that you see, I get a lot of commercials on YouTube whenever I'm watching YouTube because I'm like constantly surfing the internet about marketing, right? So I'm just fed with all the latest and greatest automation tools. They're not that great. They're not that great. So buyer beware. They're not that great. There are a few that are good, but they know they're good and they will charge you enterprise prices for using them, like $2,000 a month situations. Those are worth it because they do automatically do negative keywords and, you know, but smart ones. In the world of automation, just don't be quick to whip out that credit card. I would say bring in a specialist to handle your GA4. It's tricky work. Very few people do it very well. And it's a project. So customers, they're fine with one-time bills, maybe tiny monthly retainer for maintenance, you know, new tagging, that kind of thing. But yeah, set aside a good 10-20K for analytics to get it really right. Then after that, if your world is more in strategy, like the overall brand of a B2B, and you can do multiple channels, then pay an agency to do your PPC for you. Highly technical. There's millions of rows of data flowing. They live and breathe it. So it's worth it. Outsource that piece. You can do your upcharge on top like a general contractor would. And then that will set you free. It'll set you free to focus on messaging, positioning, creative. Does that answer the question a bit?
It absolutely does. I mean, because I think the funny thing, well, I don't know if it's funny, but everything goes through some type of, you know, maturation cycle. And when you look at, you know, marketing and the maturation cycle that it's gone through and some of the force changes that just occurred naturally through COVID, there's this real separation in on level of expertise required in order to be successful. You know, it used to be that, hey, so-and-so can just handle it. Oh, here's a new responsibility. They can take care of it. They're in marketing. But that's just not the way that it is anymore. I mean, because you're talking.
Yeah, and it's really not fair. It's really not fair to, like, you know, look at your, if you're a tiny company, there's maybe one marketer, maybe two, right? And you say, hey, I want you to handle the PPC because we're not going to pay this agency bill. It's really not fair to make them do it. And then let's say the first 6 months are rocky. You're putting them under that pressure. You're risking your employee burning out. Learning a giant topic that they know nothing about, the Google reps are going to all give you the same advice. One, change all your keywords to broad match. Two, go ahead and accept all these automations that I'm going to push at you. And three, uncap your bids so you can get more traffic. Like, wow, that sounds really nice for Google. That's like the quality advice we're getting right now out of Google. And so it's just not fair to push that onto your marketing team. Look for a specialist and ask them in the interview, can you send me a sample keyword and ad group build that you've done? Strip out the brand names, keep your clients' information. That should be a no-brainer for someone who's good at the PPC world. Make sure I'll send you 10.
Well, that's very helpful. Okay, so if I start looking at, and we kind of have hit on this throughout our discussion, B2B paid advertising costs and budgeting. Let's get a good understanding of overall scope. Because I mean, we've talked about expertise. We've talked about technical elements. We've talked about ad spend.
Mm-hmm.
Put together as a whole, looking at the entire ecosystem.
So you're talking about like a media budget overall?
Yes. What does that kind of look like?
Yeah. Let's take that 100 grand in spend example. If you're going to put 100 grand to work in media, so we call that like working media. You say you do 70 in LinkedIn, 30 in Google. You're going to pay an agency about 10% to manage that. That's kind of the market rate. The rate drops down as you spend more. So, and you're looking to run your ads program for like 6 months. Other costs would be landing page development. You want to quickly be able to stand up landing pages. A lot of businesses use like Unbounce to A/B test. I think that's a software that's worth it. So landing pages, let's say you're paying a creative agency like $500 a landing page, you want 10 landing pages. And that's ongoing work because we're always like testing new messaging and whatnot. You have your in-house person who's going to be like the receiving end of all the work. Other costs could be, oh, your ad creative itself, your display ads. Not that expensive these days, maybe a couple $1,000 for your display ads, which on LinkedIn you want to refresh every 60 days or so.
So, I mean, if I start looking at all of that, oftentimes you getting to that point when you're working with clients is because they're coming to you with some of their challenges and some of their frustrations and they're wanting to find solutions. So what are some of the common challenges that people are actually, you know, saying that they have right now that they're wanting you to help to solve for?
Yeah, the most common is that we need to cut budgets. We need to cut back on spend. And so we need someone to come in and like bring down our CPLs, cost per leads. It's a common scenario. Another common scenario is we're not hitting targets. So this is like, you know, by the time Q2 is becoming Q3, like we're not hitting targets. So what could you do to get us to the goal? That's a very common, very common scenario. At which point I say, what is your goal? Let's back into a rough estimate cost per lead. This is what your budget is. Do you have it? Most of the time they don't. And you say, like, this is the budget I need to do the work you want me to do.
To me, that's like, we're not going to find a way to make it work. We're going to say that this is what you need in order to work.
Yeah. You can't make it work. I mean, we need a budget. Like, this is a partnership, right? I'm not like here to like serve your dreams. We need to make your dreams come true with actual dollars. So a third very common scenario is, hey, I'm a new CMO. I've just fired the last agency. They're doing not great work. So what could you do that's different? Then I'll say, give me read access and give me a week and I'll come back to you with what we think we can do.
So if you start talking about that comparable, because we've kind of hit on this a little bit, and ultimately we're getting there, is if I look at, you know, different B2B ad services and agencies and all that, and you and I off mic had talked about a scenario where somebody was spending a very, very large number. And when you did that analysis, you came back and said, I can't really see what they're doing for you.
Yes. So,
help us understand a little bit about, you know, services and agencies and how we could select the right one.
Sure. So different agencies bring different powerful points, right? One that I could think of, this customer, particular customer asked me to do an audit. The CEO is a friend of mine, so I did it for free, but you should be billing for audits. It takes a lot of time. So $2,000 to $5,000, totally fair. Well, I looked at the back end of their Google Ads platform. They're spending $900,000 a month. So I asked my friend, what's the agency charging you? And he's like, oh, I don't know, maybe 2-3%. Let me check your contract. Checked it. It's 7.5%. So quickly, roughly, they're spending $65,000 a month to the agency to manage only Google search. That does not include SEO. It doesn't include creative landing pages, nothing, just that. In that analysis, I found spread out over a million keywords, there are about 385 keywords that are bringing in 80% of the business's revenue. So I'm like, bottom line is you're paying someone $65,000 a month to manage 385 keywords. Do you want to keep doing that?
Well, from a context perspective, the answer would be, I don't know. What do you mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I don't, like, he didn't even know what he was paying. So
yeah.
If I'm looking that and I'm saying, well, I'm looking to pay someone, I don't understand, you know, what that necessarily meant. You know, do I want
sure.
to, what do you mean?
I mean, for context, a really good B2B PPC person. Okay. So that's a lot of acronyms. A B2B marketer who just only lives and breathes Google, LinkedIn, programmatic, you know, a really great one. You could probably find one for $200,000 a year. Sounds like kind of a lot, but these people know what the hell they're doing. So best of the best, 250, let's say. 250K, someone's going to be killing it for you. But you're paying an agency $800,000 to do it for you? Have they hired you four PPC people solely dedicated to your 385 keywords? No. So it's time to make business choices here. What else am I getting along with this $65,000? Are you launching custom AI for my business? They might be. Are you, like, what else is being generated here? What value? But if you're looking at different ad agencies, the numbers have got to make sense.
Well, you know, when you're not a, you know, skilled buyer in a massively changing landscape, it's too easy to make the wrong decision. And I think that's why a lot of people, you know, have such pause going down this particular path.
You know what, Jim, like, this is why I'm in the business, because I saw the crazy back end of what was happening with agencies at Google. And I just, maybe I'm dreaming too small. And that's something that I do, like, I'm talking to, like, different people about this, but I'm like, am I dreaming too small? Or, like, is billing someone $65,000 a month unethical? Maybe it's perfectly ethical, but to me, maybe it's because I come from public, like, you know, humble beginnings. Like a lot of us, most of us come from humble beginnings, right? You just can't fathom doing that to another person.
I guess it just matters if you're a big firm or not. And thank goodness, Doc, a heck of a lot of insight in regards to B2B paid ads. And I mean, I greatly appreciate you for it. So how does the B2B DM gang get in touch with you?
Well, thank you. If you want to get in touch with me, email me directly, Sharon@sagedigi.com. You can hook up with me on LinkedIn. But I would really invite you, especially if you're a B2B marketer, just email me directly. That's like my actual email, Sharon@sagedigi.com.
Sharon Park, thank you for sharing your knowledge and wisdom, and we wish you the very best.
Thanks, Jim. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for joining us. Go now to join the B2B DM gang in the B2B Marketer LinkedIn group, where you can connect with other B2B DM disruptors and get access to our B2B DM cheat sheets, checklist, and guides. While you're at it, if you found value in this show, please help by going to iTunes to rate, review, and subscribe. And share the show on all of your digital platforms. Be sure to tune in next week for our next episode. And always remember, you can automate your lead capture, but you must lure your lead.